Welcome back to AppFabric TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs. Today, joined by Karan. I never say your full name.
It's Karandeep Anand.
Karandeep Anand. Yeah, we always call you just Karan, you know?
Actually, I usually go by Karan, so.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, tell me about yourself.
I'm Karandeep Anand, as I said, that's the full name. Group program manager with the AppFabric team.
Yeah.
There's AppFabric, of course, a big team. So The areas I work on are specifically focused on AppFabric management, services like caching, and I've been on Channel 9 in the past, mostly talking about caching.
Yeah.
But today we're going to talk about a whole bunch of new stuff, so.
In fact, today is kind of an exciting day because we just released for the first time the CTP of this new thing. What is it?
Hey, actually, it's been a long journey, so I'm super happy to finally talk about it and say,
yeah.
You know, back in October at PDC,
right?
This was, I think, the keynote that we did. We talked about the future vision of how you build applications
right.
for cloud. The last week or 2 weeks ago at TechEd, we finally announced that we're going to be making that future vision real.
Yeah.
Today's the day.
Ah.
We're talking about the release of AppFabric Developer Tools and AppFabric Application Manager. Both of them together help you build cloud-scale applications that span web, middle-tier, data-tier,
right.
consumes external services, and all of them built logically and ready for the cloud, so you never have to worry about cloud infrastructure, cloud details, all done at a logical level. So the vision of I'm a developer, I care about business logic, I care about my application logically,
right.
I don't care and understand the infrastructure. Help me build applications. That vision is real now.
Ah, okay. So I think probably the best way for us to understand is just to see it a little bit. So you have something to show us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let's take a look at what it is, and then we can talk more about the pieces as we go.
Sounds good. So let's just start with, I'm a Visual Studio developer today, familiar with .NET Framework. Let's see what I get when I start with AppFabric and AppFabric applications. So what you have up here is Visual Studio. The only thing I've done on top of the base Visual Studio install is I've installed the Windows Azure SDK and the AppFabric SDK that got released this morning. So this is the June CDP release, in case you're searching for it. That's all I have on top of the Visual Studio install.
Okay.
So one of the first things you'll see is I can start by building out a new application. And we ship a few templates, so you can get a list of couple of out-of-box templates that says, I can start with the blank vanilla AppFabric application.
Mm-hmm.
Or we've wired up a few templates which let you build Silverlight-rich internet applications or ASP.NET with cache, another very, very common pattern that we see.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you are an ISV or want to build more sophisticated applications, here's a business application with orchestration using workflow.
Okay.
So that's the other one big piece. We had excellent support for ASP.NET
right.
in Windows Azure. With the new release, we have great support for both WebCF and workflow as well.
Ah.
So this is the fourth template that allows you to go build workflow-based applications.
Cool.
So what I'm going to do is, to keep this demo short and quick, I'm going to start with one of the samples that we ship with the SDK. So
okay.
when you install the tools, you can also look at the sample. The sample here is a simple stock ticker application. The application is an ASP.NET frontend, which talks to a WebCF service, which does my portfolio management, but then reaches out to a Yahoo or an MSN finance service, pulls down quotes. The things you'll notice here are the way I build my applications, my stock ticker service, is essentially the same way I built my WebCF services today.
Okay.
Nothing's changed there. The way I build my ASP.NET pages and applications, I still build ASP.NET in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing in the way you build applications essentially changes. A couple of goodness things that we'll talk about how you build this so they're scalable, but we'll get into that in a little bit. But at the top level, we want you to start with existing assets and existing ways for you to build applications, so that should not change at all. And the only thing extra that you would notice here is we've created a new solution or a new project here, which is a deployment project, which helps you capture and define the overall app in addition to the app artifact itself. So this is the new part of the tooling that you get with the AppFabric developer tools, which is a config editor, if you will. Gives you the list of all the various artifacts in your application in case it says, hey, I have a ASP.NET web application, a WebCF service. It keeps its portfolio in a database, consumes cache to make the site faster, and it talks to, in this case, a Yahoo finance service to pull down stock quotes.
Now, this is the first big difference that we've seen so far, because like everything else we saw, yeah, it's just like right. we used to build. But I think this is very interesting because, you know, when I think about building an app on just traditional Windows Server, I have all these artifacts, but there's nothing that really tells, you know, describes, this is my whole app, right? I mean, okay. it's just in my head. I know I have that website, these things, and yes. I put them all together. So now I've got a thing that says, this is my whole app, correct. And here's how the pieces are hooked together, which is a new thing.
Absolutely. I think you nailed it right there, which is, we finally give you a way to define your logical application,
yeah.
both with things that you've coded, all the things you're consuming in a homogeneous way.
Yeah.
And this tooling, which is add on to existing way of building code, is a way to capture that definition so that right. logically you can define an application, not just at development time. We'll see later that you can actually use the same knowledge at management time as well. So finally, you have a way to define and build an entire application. And that's essentially what we call an AppFabric application, mm-hmm. which is any end-tier application spanning web, middle tier, data tier, and consume external services like the Yahoo Finance in this case or caching, all as a logical single app.
Yeah, and the other thing that this does is that it, because we know what the app is, now we can do some interesting things at the platform level with the app.
Yeah, and we'll see that in a few minutes here as well. So one of the other things you'll see is, this is just a long list of all the various app artifacts. Mm-hmm. You can start seeing the logical relationship between different pieces. So what I've done is, as a developer, I've also identified that the WCF service here needs to be able to talk to the cache, mm-hmm. you know, to quickly cache all the database portfolio information, talk to the Yahoo Finance service. And when you define these relationships, we do a couple of things in the background. One, we add the right references, pull in DLL, so you don't have to do the basic task yourself.
Right.
More importantly, what we do is we help you capture these relationships so you can visualize how my application actually is structured.
Oh, okay.
So this is the same app manifest, which is viewed in a more graphical way. Mm-hmm. And what it tells me is that my web talks to the WCF service, mm-hmm. which in turn talks to the database, the cache, and the external service.
Oh, cool.
Our primary goal with AppFabric applications is you should be able to quickly assemble new apps. And so what we're doing is we're essentially taking the concept of service composition. Mm-hmm. I think the industry is pretty familiar with that for years.
Yeah.
But making it first class so that the way you consume an external services, let's say like Yahoo Finance or PayPal or Netflix, is essentially the same way you would consume SQL Azure or you would go consume AppFabric Cache or AppFabric Service Bus.
Right.
So we make the experience so consistent, whether you're consuming first-party or external services, that you think of app as a collection of external and internal services that I've just composed together quickly. So you don't have to go build your own cache or your own queuing and your own messaging. We just give you those pre-built services. You write your business logic in your web on in the middle tier and quickly extend your application. So this is just a quick graphical view of the same definition that I had captured in terms of these relationships and dependencies of the application. So at this point, I can definitely go ahead and, you know, I'll build a solution, much like I do today.
Mm-hmm.
And we also provide a local debug experience with, you know, hit Control F5. I can actually use the Windows Azure Dev Fabric
yeah.
to start simulating and testing my app locally, which is taking the first step forward from not just can I build the application as an entire app together,
mm-hmm.
I can debug the entire app that talks from web to mid-tier, talks to cache, talks to external services also locally before mm-hmm. I upload the application. So the first thing we did was manage, develop the app as a single unit, also debug the app as a single unit before you publish and start managing the app as a single unit. So at this point, you know, I'll skip through the debug experience
mm-hmm.
And I'll just go ahead. And one of the other things I get is an option to publish directly from Visual Studio to AppFabric Application Manager. So if I'm a developer and I'm just iterating between different versions of the application, I can directly push from here.
Yeah.
Or I can generate this application package right here from the build. And what it'll give me is, let me show you the pointer to this real quick. What it'll give me is a way to pick up the app package, which is just essentially AFPKG,
mm-hmm.
which contains my web artifacts, my WCF, my workflows, my cache definitions, my database definitions, all packaged as a single zip file, if you will,
yeah.
called the EF package, so I can go upload it to the management portal.
Cool.
Okay. So I'll quickly shift gears. Now, I was a developer. Mm-hmm. Let me quickly become the IT pro here who gets given this application to manage. And the first thing I would come to the AppFabric application manager, which is the second big piece of the puzzle, which is you had AppFabric developer tools to build the app. Now you get to the AppFabric application manager to manage the app.
Okay.
So what you're looking at here is the app dashboard.
Right.
It just gives me a list of all the applications that I've uploaded and I'm using. And the same stock ticker application that I had built, I've uploaded one and I've mm-hmm. started it so I can show you some more rich information here. One of the first things you'll notice when you drill down into the application is the fact that the same knowledge that the developer had about how my application is constructed is carried forward to the IT pro. So you get the same visual diagram experience that the developer had. And this helps the IT pros and application admins manage the application logically as well. So you don't have to infer from the app code and definition or read through a whole bunch of Word documents and,
right.
and slide decks on how what my app contains. It. But here you just look at the app and says, yeah, I have a web, I have a middle-tier WSIO service, and I need to configure the database in cache before I can actually go deploy it. And this knowledge is captured along with the AppFabric tooling, the AF package that gets created. This knowledge is captured as what we call the composition model.
Mm-hmm.
That is the app manifest, which describes the not just the constituents, but also the relationship between different artifacts. So let me switch to a more list view aspect so you can actually see the different parts. And quickly, you'll notice that my application consists of three big pieces. One are all the containers where I run my code.
Mm-hmm.
Container could be web, container could be middle tier. And that's where we ship the AppFabric container as a service in the cloud. This is what we should go in a little bit deeper into in a few minutes on what the AppFabric container is all about.
Okay.
But you'll see that I have my app running on a couple of different containers, AppFabric or web. It exposes a bunch of different endpoints externally to the world. These are the endpoints that my app exposes. I can directly click here and launch the app.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the app that we had just built. Awesome. I should be able to debug this error right now. And get quotes for it, but actually we should see if we can get that error right here. That's what the whole app manager is for.
Okay.
The third part you'll see is a list of all the referenced services that this application consumes. And I can drill right into here real quick and say, oh, I want to manage my database, and it gives me the way to manage my databases right here.
Ah.
So at runtime, mm-hmm. if I want to go ahead and change the configuration or the password for my database, I don't have to navigate to a different UI, different portal. I get it right here. Not just for databases or caches, even for more sophisticated things like I want to be able to manage my WCF service, which we just built, I can drill into the WCF service and things that people typically spend a lot of time in configuring. We just give you a configuration knob right here, which exposes all the WCF settings that you would typically expect to see right in the portal. So you don't even have to round trip to a developer, rebuild the app, and upload it. You can actually change them at the management time here through the portal itself. So I can come change the max number of concurrent calls, number of sessions, max sizes, the typical settings that we saw people using more and more. I'd love to hear feedback on what are the settings people like to edit here.
Hmm.
So this is all the configuration part of it. Once the application is configured, you hit deploy, and what it does is it deploys on your behalf to Azure web roles, to Azure workers and containers, an AppFabric container, so that you don't have to worry about getting web roles, installing with the necessary pieces. We do all that for you.
Okay.
So this is completely managed on your behalf. And once the application is up and running, you can start doing regular operations like, hey, if my app gets hit a couple of times, it'll start generating metrics on usage and the error we saw. We should be able to see that as well, all through a lot of rich tooling via the monitoring tab here. So what I see here is the ability to get a lot of rich metrics broken down per component type. So I can mm-hmm. see metrics for ASP.NET, I can see metrics for WCF, I can see even metrics for things we don't run natively but consume externally, the way I can call cache.
Okay.
I can see the cache metrics, I can see metrics for databases and so on and so forth. So a couple of other quick things before we get back into the container is the ability to see other things like admin logs. This is a list of all the various events that the admin performed.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, this should be loading right now. Give it a few minutes. And this is a list of all the operations that the admin performed, including upload, start, stop. Think of this as a simple audit trail.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually see who is performing what actions on your management portal. The couple of other quick things, you can manage certificates right here.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't necessarily have to package the certificates with the app. You always can. But you can always come and change certificates to secure your web or your middle tier endpoints. And the last part, which is very critical, is the whole notion of scale out.
Okay.
The primary goal of the shift with AppFabric applications is that you should be able to build scalable applications rather quickly.
Mm.
The AppFabric container and the web both have been designed out of the box to be scalable and elastic scalable, which is at runtime, I can come and change how the applications just scale up and scale down. In this case, you see my application has a web and an AppFabric container running. I can come and say, I'm seeing enough latency issues on my WSIO service, getting not good enough response times. I can go ahead and increase the scale that says double the amount of capacity available. When I hit save, the AppFabric container, which is our pre-provisioned runtime to mm-hmm. run middleware components like WSIO and WF, automatically starts scaling out a WSIO service on multiple VMs and roles. So you don't have to worry about getting more machines, getting more roles, copying the application, configuring it. All that's done automatically. In fact, this is near instantaneous.
Yeah.
For the AppFabric container, that as soon as I hit save, in a few minutes, you'll see the status of the app is configuring. So you see stock ticker app, and the app is, I'll load quickly, is running with a full scale of 4 instances now. So
this is long.
The web takes a little longer because for web we provision dedicated roles for you.
Mm-hmm.
But for AppFabric container, it's a shared runtime. That it doesn't even take that long for it to run instantaneously. So at a high level, what we just walked through was not just what's the AppFabric developer tools
yeah.
to go build and define the application a single unit, and the AppFabric application manager
mm-hmm.
to be able to manage right from building, deploying, configuring, monitoring, troubleshooting, and I'll get into troubleshooting. I didn't show you that cool part yet.
Okay.
As a single unit. And the glue that ties them together
yeah.
across dev tooling and the management experience is what's called a composition model, which helps us just describe the various artifacts of your logical application in one place. So
what's interesting about this is now, instead of me, thinking about all these kind of low-level knobs on Azure and how many worker roles and web roles and
yeah.
There's a lot of stuff when I look at Azure code, and I'm not great with Azure, but when I look at Azure code, I see the guys who do it a bunch. I see them writing a lot of stuff that deals with like, oh, first time I run, I better provision my SQL Azure. I've got to do all this funky stuff to make sure I can resolve my imports to a worker role, correctly. A bunch of things like that. You've taken a lot of that headache away, right, with this sort of thing.
That's the goal. The goal is you should not have to worry about infrastructure and the knobs.
Uh-huh.
You should, as a developer, you really care about writing business logic where the real money is.
Right.
We provide this much higher level of abstraction where we take away how you, provision your diagnostic store.
Yeah.
How do I get my blob storage size right enough to get these metrics?
Yeah.
Where do I configure my troubleshooting logs to go stiff? Those things are so repetitive.
Yeah.
Every application, everyone has to keep doing it again and again. So we just took those pieces, still gave you the control of running whatever existing code that you'd normally write.
Right.
But run them in a more abstracted, high-level service called the AppFabric Application Manager and the container. So you don't have to worry about any of the low-lying underlying pieces of the Azure infrastructure. So as an example, these are the metrics I was talking about. As soon as I hit the app, we were able to measure the latency.
Yeah.
So we know that the first call took about 150 milliseconds.
Mm.
And such rich metrics are wired out of the box, so you don't even have to write a single line of code
go
get it.
Yeah.
For all the components that we ship, we just offer a bunch of these metrics pre-wired. You can also inject your own custom metrics.
Okay.
So you can get metrics for, hey, how many times I called PayPal?
Yeah.
And the error that I was talking about, it just tells me that there were 3 errors. And I can even do rich error troubleshooting right from the management portal.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have to even invest in building different tools or buying other specialized tools to go do basic troubleshooting. It shows you the Mac error that we just had.
Yeah.
And the minute I want to troubleshoot this error, I come into the application logs, which is essentially a place for me to go look at all my app logs across all the VMs and the machines and processes that I'm spread across.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about at any given time how many machines my app was on.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be dynamic, supposed to be scalable. We collate all the logs for you in a single place and provide a single web page for you to go look at the various logs across web and container. I can download the logs centrally,
mm-hmm.
and the minute I open it, you'll see the familiar shows up here. You see the familiar service trace viewer starts showing me all the rich calls that happened. That you know, my web got hit, web hit WCF, the time, the latency, and every operation gets heavily logged here. So you can actually do pretty sophisticated troubleshooting,
right
just using service trace viewer and the consolidated set of logs that we provide you out of the box here. So and of course, Service Trace Viewer is a free download, or you get Visual Studio. But if you just look at the raw list of information,
mm-hmm.
it tells you the power that you still get, even though you're dealing with an abstracted service which abstracts the infrastructure but never the app from you. So the app, you still have full control.
Yeah.
The infrastructure is what we make a lot more easier and abstracted from you to go run on.
Well, and this is huge because, I mean, I've seen a lot of guys do, tons of stuff to get just good error information out of their Windows Azure apps. Yeah. So this is super helpful.
So real quick, let me show you. That was a very simple application.
Uh-huh.
Let me show you, fairly sophisticated apps that you can go build. There's another one app that we build, and I'm hoping that we can put this out on CodePlex as well.
Oh, okay.
So if you just look at this app, it's, multiple different services, web talking to WCF, talking to Facebook for identity.
Right.
Doing some pretty sophisticated package uploading, talks to an email. The one thing I'll quickly call out here is every icon you can see in blue
mm-hmm.
are components that we shipped out of the box.
Okay.
The icons you're seeing in black are custom components. And that's the last thing I want to talk about is that the whole thing that you see, right, from the tooling or the dev tooling management portal, everything is extensible.
Yeah.
So our ISV friends can actually come extend the base capabilities. For example, you can take this whole UI,
yeah.
build your own UI because the entire UI, all the rich metrics are available as a REST API.
Ah, okay, cool.
Not only do we provide components like cache and databases, you can plug in your own components. Let's say you PayPal, you want to mm-hmm. stick in your own component, your Yahoo Finance, you can plug in your own component and get rich metrics. So the whole design, this is essentially a framework for you to build apps, and you can keep plugging and extending it in whichever custom way you want to. And this is an example of one app, which builds a lot of custom components and gives you a fairly sophisticated and rich application for you to go build and run at scale in Windows Azure.
Now, I think what some people will look at this and say, wow, that to me as a workflow guy, this reminds me of a workflow, right? And in a workflow, I can certainly create my own activities and my own designer and properties and all that. But just to be clear, like this Facebook export, for example, is a custom component, mm-hmm. but it's not a workflow activity. I mean, I'm not writing workflow there.
Right.
I'm just writing code like I would always write, but I create a component that makes it easy for people to use in my app.
Exactly. If you I don't know how we're doing in time.
Let's go. We got time.
We got time? Okay.
Yeah.
Let me show you the dev side experience for the custom components as well. So when I'm going to take this existing StockTicker app.
Yeah.
I've installed a bunch of custom components like the Facebook export.
Uh-huh.
And the way for me to add any new artifact into my project or my solution is I hit the add new service.
Okay.
The minute you hit add new service, you get a list of all the components that I can inject into my app.
Oh.
This is a list which is extensible.
Right.
So ASP.NET, Azure Storage, Azure Table, caching, writing this custom code, service bus are things we ship out of the box.
Right.
So you have a out-of-box experience, you can get started real quick. Things like, I want to build my own email notification service,
okay.
or I want to build my Facebook export, are things that are custom. So for example, I hit OK. It adds a Facebook export where it gives me a bunch of rich metrics that says, hey, here's my Facebook service. Here are all the reference libraries I would need. So Facebook uh-huh. has its own contract where we can talk to.
Right.
And if I select Facebook, it gives me, oh, what certificate you want to talk to? What's the listening address? So you can actually customize it with fairly rich config and monitoring metrics right by just building an export. And now I can make my WCF service, go talk to the Facebook component that I just exported.
Yeah.
As soon as I do that, logically, WCF is now wired to talk to Facebook. You'll see that reflect in the diagram real quick. Now you see that Facebook, the StockTicker service, is going to talk to Facebook right here.
Ah, yeah, okay. So that's cool. So that... that little interchange that you just did would have been quite a bit of work. I mean, for somebody who didn't know what they're doing, you know, there's a lot to learn about, you know, using these libraries together. So you just wired it in very easily. That's way cool.
And we hope that there'll be a large community around people building custom components, the way they build, you know, custom workflow activities. Similarly, you can just build a whole bunch of these custom components and people can start offering you libraries for doing, you know, business tasks, for doing workflow, doing orchestration, identity. You can think of a whole bunch of categories around the whole custom exports that can get authored and get plugged into this tooling because it's extensible.
So now what we've got here is just the first CTP, which first CTP means it kind of works.
Thank you. Thank you for sending a low ball. That's good, actually. You're right, actually. I just want to set the right expectations that back in October when we talked about this, is all, you know, future stuff.
Yeah.
We want to get a CTP one out soon enough that we can show where the, you know, we headed with the vision.
Yeah.
Of course, not everything works the way it would in the eventual version. More importantly, it also means that this is not the final plan of things we'll ship with.
Right.
This is just a good preview of what we plan to ship with, and we are so open to feedback on things you like, things people don't like, so we can take it in any whichever way that people really want the first release to look like. So it's both about things might break, as well as it's about saying, give us feedback on things you like and things you don't, so that we can improve on things that you don't particularly enjoy here. And
okay, so if I was a developer who said, that looks kind of interesting, I want to try it out, what do I do?
Well, that's where I talk about the restricted capability or restricted availability of this to everyone.
Okay.
The App Fabric June CDP release essentially includes the App Fabric SDK and this developer tooling, which is open to everyone.
Right.
So you can download this tooling, build local applications, debug locally.
Uh-huh.
The other piece was the App Fabric Application Manager.
Yeah.
One of the things I mentioned earlier was that we are running and managing the app on your behalf. So we are buying all the compute. We are all buying the storage. Hence, it's a little restricted in terms of how many people we can onboard.
Oh, right.
We keep increasing the capacity as we go along. But initially, we have a sign-up experience. It's first come, first serve. So you sign up.
Yeah.
As soon as we have more capacity, we keep extending the invitations to more and more people. So people can go to portal.appfabriclabs.com, which is our playground website, which is available for free. You don't need a credit card. You don't need any, you know, any verification sign-up process to sign up. Just register the way you would have done for, let's say, caching or service bus.
Okay.
For AppFabric App Manager service as well.
Uh-huh.
As soon as capacity opens up and as soon as we have more slots available, we'll keep onboarding more and more people.
Yeah.
At that point, you'll be able to take the apps that you build locally, push them up to the cloud, and run them at scale as well. So the developer tools and SDK is free download, available. People should give us feedback anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The application manager is a controlled capacity just because of you know, how we scale up our infrastructure to take more people in.
Yeah.
But it's available. So if you log on right now, you have a better chance than logging on tomorrow. So
in the next 15 minutes, if you log on,
We should have a 1-800 number display. Call now.
How many slots are left? They're going fast, folks.
No. Definitely, are going fast. But it'll be as we open this up to more and more people can try out. But I think there are enough initial slots to start with.
Okay.
That people can sign up. As soon as they get approved, they should be able, they will be able to upload the apps and start running them and get the management experience as well.
And so then we're going to have more CTPs over the course of the next few months. And, you know, it won't be like, you know, a year from now or things like that. It'll be more frequent, right?
That is the plan. It's a cloud world. Uh-huh. We iterate pretty quickly. This is, you know, it's only been 8 months since we were on the whiteboard demoing this vision.
Yeah.
The fact that we already have the first CTP out. We'll keep iterating. And we have the flexibility to keep updating based on feedback that we keep hearing. So if you have things that you like, things that you want us to work on.
Yeah.
Respond to us in the forums, respond to us on the blog.
Yeah.
Leave comments on this video post as well.
Right.
Please like, and we'll keep iterating to release more and more CDPs, refreshes to the service, and get feedback before we actually have the first version done.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing that with us today, and we look forward to seeing you next time on AppFabric TV.